Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today will force a motion of confidence in the tarnish to Simon Harris following Aintu leader Padraig Tobin saying he would table a no confidence motion in Mr. Harris next week over controversies in Children's Health Ireland and waiting times for scoliosis surgery. The government is hoping to get the motion out of the way today so that the focus can return to the presidential election. However, it may not be put to bed after today. Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times, joins me now. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what is this really all about? Is this to put focus on the government in the run-up to the vote in the presidential election and embarrass them for their failings?
Well, it's going to be a day of somewhat unexpected political drama because, as you said, this motion of confidence is coming about a week before we thought it was going to arrive. Now, the timing that Padraig Tobin, the leader of Aintu, had originally outlined when he made this announcement on the plinth in Leinster House yesterday morning was that he would put it down for a week hence, for next Wednesday. And I think that it's difficult to disentangle that political timing from the big political event next week, which is the presidential election come Friday. The nature of motions of no confidence or the competing motion of confidence, which the government tends to put down in itself or in its own minister, is that they create a lot of political heat. Maybe not so much political light, in that the consequences of them are rarely a government collapsing or a minister having to resign because the government troops rally to the flag and the motion is successfully seen off. But a lot of political attention on the particular issue which is at the core of the motion. In this instance, the issue of promises made and not kept around waiting times for kids with scoliosis and spina bifida and so on, which has been something of an albatross around the neck of Simon Harris for several years, and also kind of bleeds into this issue of the state and the government's handling of care for children with these conditions, and also the wider issue of the adequacy of services for people who have additional needs or disabilities. The reason that's important is because if you're looking at this from Fine Gael's point of view or from the government's point of view, the last thing you want in a presidential election cycle where there's a high number of undecided voters, many of whom will be making their mind up in the last couple of days before the general election, or excuse me, before the presidential election, is a bunch of news cycles, a bunch of radio bulletins, a bunch of newspaper headlines, people reading and consuming information and news about this issue, which is in the round negative for the government. And I think that that's why we've seen this move from the coalition to pull the motion forward into this week, to whip off that band-aid, to get through that painful experience of being beaten up in the Dáil and having to defend itself this side of the weekend, as opposed to have it become something of a kind of centre of gravity to political coverage in the days and hours leading up to the presidential on Friday.
Aintu have chosen to target Simon Harris because of the promise that he did make as Minister for Health. But if they don't get this motion to run, because there will already have been a confidence motion passed, one presumes, by the government in Simon Harris, could they not have a go at somebody else?
They could, and that is effectively what they're thinking. So it's a little procedural and technical, but bear with me. So Padraig Tobin announced his intention yesterday to put down this motion of no confidence. He hasn't actually published the wording of it. He hasn't submitted it to the Oireachtas, which only has to be done by Friday. So the government's competing confidence motion, which will be voted on today, is actually put down in opposition to nothing. So they can do that if they want. And if the Dáil votes confidence, as it will in Simon Harris this afternoon, he, as is the case with any other minister, is then protected for a period of 6 months from any confidence motion being put down in him. But Paddy Tobin still has that slot available to him next Wednesday. He still has until Friday to submit the wording of it. So my understanding as of last night was that one option under consideration would be to put down a motion of no confidence in either another minister or indeed the government at large and try and basically, you know, have two bites of this cherry to try and go for it once this week and to go for it again next week. I suppose the risk would be that that might be seen, particularly if it is put down on the issue of scoliosis again, that might be seen as being an overtly political move, a naked ploy to politicize what is at the end of the day a very serious issue for the families affected.
Now, could the government then be preemptive this afternoon and put a motion down of confidence in Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, the Minister for Finance, Uncle Tom, Cobbley and all, in other words, the entire cabinet, and preempted that way?
I'm not sure, actually. We're kind of wheels within wheels at this stage. I'm not sure of the kind of procedural possibilities of that. And I think that, their intention, and I saw the revised All-Sedge schedule yesterday. My recollection is that it did mention Simon Harris and Taoiseach by name. So I don't know if it's possible or likely that they'd reverse that at this stage. I think that, you know, the vote this afternoon is almost certainly going to be on Simon Harris as opposed to anything wider. And then the ball is, I suppose, back in Paddy Tobin and Aintu's court if they want to move ahead with that change of tack, that change of strategy that we discussed.
Now, moving on to the presidential election and the calls by Helen McEntee on Catherine Connolly to publish the emails that she said she sent internally inquiring about the status of Garda vetting of her parliamentary assistant, who was being signed in on a daily basis, and about which I pursued Catherine Connolly yesterday. What does Helen McEntee want to know?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
So, as you correctly say, this was an issue in your own presidential special debate that was held yesterday morning. And I think that, you know, a lot of the big moving parts, the big topics of debate, the big controversies for the respective candidates are now established, one of which for Catherine Connolly's campaign has been the hiring of this person who had a firearms conviction. When it was initially reported, it was suggested in the reporting that the guards had made concerns about this hiring process clear to Catherine Connolly, and she had appealed that in some way, shape or form. Now, she's flatly said there's no foundation to that and it's untrue, but she has said, and she said it on your programme yesterday, that she sent emails into the Oireachtas kind of asking for updates on this process. You know, this person was being signed in on an ad hoc basis, day to day, on a visitor pass, and Catherine Connolly was hoping that she would be made permanent and get a pass to access Leinster House. So she said, look, I asked for updates. If I recall correctly, she couldn't recall correctly yesterday when talking to you exactly what the response came back, but it was kind of non-committal. So
Sinn Féin, tell me to whom? I said, to whom did you send the emails internally, is the reply. I don't know what that means.
I mean, I would imagine
if I said I was sending a Bauer email internally, it could be to any number of people within Bauer.
And look, this is kind of where we're at in the cycle around this controversy. You have her political opponents trying to dig deeper and extract more juice from the controversy, basically to keep it in the headlines, to devise mechanisms whereby a new scrap of information may emerge and put pressure on the candidate and ensure there's more news cycles where this potential point, which may lead some voters to have questions about her judgment, is more prominent. And you see it on the other side as well. You know, you see Sinn Féin last night were coming out and talking about Heather Humphrey's record when she was in charge charge of the decade of centenaries, or the start of the decade of centenaries, pointing out that, you know, she had to take down a video that at the time made no reference to the 1916 rising and had you know, imagery of the British royal family and so on, and calling into question her judgment and, I suppose, more widely speaking, her politics or political outlook by implication on an incident that happened 10 years ago or more. So we're seeing both campaigns just really driving to the heart of pre-existing questions or issues or controversies or stories that have been a feature of the campaign trail already, as they look to solidify the importance of these issues in voters who, as we said at the top of the call, are now really beginning, I think, to tune in, because decision time is coming ever closer.
Yeah, and of course, we don't really have a sense of the polling. We know that Catherine Connolly is ahead significantly, but we haven't seen a poll that excludes Jim Gavin entirely. And even in a sense, it is not correct to totally exclude him, because there are people who simply, believe it or not, do not know that he's not running effectively, although he will be on the ballot paper. It's all quite confusing. And they think if they vote for him, it's a spoiled vote, whereas it's a vote that will be counted.
Well, it's one of several confounding factors around, you know, the reliability of polling as we run into election day. I mean, because Jim Gavin is legally still a candidate, and because he is going to be on the ballot paper, you know, you have to poll him, because that's the ballot paper picture that's going to be presented to people on polling day itself. And some people, whether they be diehard Fianna Fáilers or just they want to vote, they don't want to not turn up, they don't want to spoil their vote, but they don't want to vote for either of the candidates. They may just say, I'm just going to vote for Jim Gavin to participate in the process in that way. It's, as I say, it's one of several confounding factors. The others being the relatively high number of undecideds. You know, that adds to the kind of volatility and the difficulty in predicting what's going to happen. And I think as well, the fact that we're going to have what is a common feature in Irish elections, you have a lot of people deciding quite late, just tuning in the last couple of days before polling. So look, while the polling has been consistent in the last few weeks and shows a lead and a decent lead for Catherine Connolly, I think, you know, it can only really become more relevant as we get closer. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was narrowing. And it wouldn't surprise me as well if the result on the day was even more difficult to predict than would usually be the case when extrapolating from polling results in advance of polls.
Finally, I should ask you about that question that you pursued Catherine Connolly on the Stoop, about whether or not she had represented banks in against people who were going to have their houses repossessed. In other words, they were going to be evicted. I pursued her on that yesterday. Were you happy that you now have the answer?
Well, I mean, Catherine Connolly has made clear that she worked for financial institutions, and she's defended that on the basis of what's known as the cab rank rule for barristers, you know, that they under the code of conduct for barristers can't pass up work. And, you know, I think that's a fair defence to make. It is the factual situation. And, you know, my view is that, you know, if you want to make that argument, you should do so in full.
In full. No, but I pursued her, and I said, may I take it as a yes then, that you have represented banks against people who were trying to avoid eviction? And the only conclusion I could draw was the answer was yes. What difference that makes, as you say, as a barrister, they take all sorts of work. And many of us look on at people who defend, for example, for fees, some of the notorious criminals around the place, and we ask ourselves, do they ever ask themselves where their fees are coming from? So, you know, there are all sorts of questions you can ask about what barristers do and how they behave.
There are indeed, yeah. And look, you know, access to justice is an important principle that barristers have to abide by. And the Bar Council had a statement out last week kind of outlining that in full after that exchange between Catherine Connolly and myself. And, you know, many barristers would say that is paramount. In fact, most barristers would say that is paramount. I suppose that, you know, in a wider campaign where there's been a big emphasis put on transparency and, you know, openness to scrutiny, responding directly to questions is to my mind associated with that as well.
A couple of comments which are interesting in their own way. I'd be voting for Jim. Admitting he was wrong and stepping out of the race is the commendable, honest thing to do. As a politician, it's the first time I've seen it, so I think he should get the job. Well, he was. His hand was kind of forced, it has to be said. I'm not sure I'd go along with that. I'm quite happily voting Gavin 1, Humphreys 2. I'm completely aware that Gavin had withdrawn himself. This election is an omni-shambles. It's my own little way of expressing anger while keeping Connolly from office. I know many people are doing the same. I'm so sick of listening about Catherine Connolly in this issue. They all do this. It's the standard practice while they await for Garda clearance. It's disgusting how the press are continuing this non-story. I'm voting for Catherine Connolly now because of this. And I'm not sure if that's a genuine thing. When you're signing someone in for 6 months, as I said yesterday, it's virtually semi-permanent at that point. And the signing in procedure is for people who might be going in a day or two. Maybe someone doing a particular job in an office gets signed in. But for 6 months?
Well, I mean, there is the practice of allowing people into Leinster House on the word or the vouching of a member of the Oireachtas. It happens for guests of TDs who are coming in just to sit in the visitors gallery. It happens for media who might not have a permanent pass to Leinster House. But yeah, no, I'm not familiar. I haven't come across it being a kind of standing practice for as long as 6 months. That's not to say it hasn't happened, but certainly in my experience, not something that I've come across.
All right, Jack Horgan-Jones, of the Irish Times. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.